You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Thank you. And what a great morning to be here. What a privilege it is to be here. I love that prophetic word, the train at the station, powered by grace. Fits in with what I'm going to be sharing today. It's a privilege to have the opportunity to speak to you today. Graham's been very good to me in allowing me to have the platform to share a little bit about my future journey. And this is important to me, to have the support of my church travelling with me to some degree in the future as I take on these new challenges. And I look forward to sharing with you over the years how this journey unfolds. And I'll just really appreciate the support of this church journeying with me. A lot of what I'm going to share with you today will have to do with my own journey, but I hope that there'll be many parallels, because as I speak to people, I recognise that God is doing a work in many people, and sometimes God, He births some kind of a vision or a dream within us, and for some of us it sits for a really long time, and we get a little impatient because we're waiting to see how it's going to unfold, and we want it to unfold now, and it doesn't necessarily always happen in the timing as we would like it. And one thing I've learned, and I'll be sharing with you during this message, is that God's timing is perfect, and he plants a seed, and sometimes that seed has to sit for quite a while, but when his timing comes, he reveals that it is now the time, and then that seed germinates, and we recognise that actually his timing was the right timing all of the time. So I hope that that what I share with you is not just about my journey, but it also helps in regard to your own journey. For the past 15 years, I've had the privilege of sharing from this platform, not often in church, sometimes in church, but every week in the school, I've had the opportunity. And I was just thinking as we were in worship before, next Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, will be my last chapel here at Oxley College. And I was adding them up, there would have been 600 chapels in my 15 years, and this will be the last one of 600, so I better think of something decent to say. But what a privilege that has been. You just think about that, 550 young people with minds developing and spirits open, and I've had the opportunity to speak to them for 15 years, and that is a great privilege, and it's not a job that you walk away from lightly. So that's what I'm about to share with you as to what's going on in regard to that. You know, in the very beginning when I came to Oxley College, I knew I was an imposter, that I wasn't good enough to be the chaplain at this great school. I grew up as a non-Christian. I never went to Bible college. I'd never even been in a Christian school, let alone taught in a Christian school, let alone been the chaplain of a Christian school. And I was just waiting for someone to come and say, "Oh, we made a mistake. You're the wrong guy. We've just worked that out." but it didn't happen. And in fact, I don't know if Mike Ogilvie is here. Is he here anywhere? No, I don't think he is. But right before I began on that first day at Oxley, and I was here at LMC, and he didn't really know me very well, but he came up and he had a prophetic word which I've kept in my heart to this very day. And he said, "God will give you the words." And he didn't realise at the time that I was just really worrying about what I was going to say every week and that I wouldn't have the words. But as it turned out, I did have the words. God allowed me to have the words and to have an idea of what was going on in the culture of the school at the time, and to be able to speak into that ever-changing culture as it has changed over the last 15 years. So for the last 15 years, I've lived and breathed this place. And now I'll be moving on into a new venture of faith. And I've got that same feeling that I had 15 years ago, that excitement and fear kind of wrapped together. But after 30 years in schools, and 15 years here at Oxley, I'm going from here to work for Sports Chaplaincy Australia to try and raise up a sports chaplain for every sporting club in Australia. Not personally, I might be doing that, but to be involved in that. To see churches adopting sporting clubs in their local areas and sharing life and love and grace, I love that word, hope, mercy, and the good news of a saviour for mankind. And I just hope that, and I pray that, and I see this as a long project, that within 20 years we will see a cultural change that will come about through the sporting clubs, which I think have a very big influence upon our culture, upon particularly our young men. And if we can capture young men through something that they love, which is their passion for sport, and change their hearts towards the way that they view life, I believe that we can have a major impact through what some people might regard as the real religion of our country, and that's sport. Simon, I noticed you didn't have a God tattoo on your arm there. You had a Geelong tattoo on your arm there. This vision was birthed in me at least 10 years ago, and some people who I know well will think back for 10 years and think about how I used to talk about, particularly with Matt, entering into the world of male sporting clubs, that I had this passion to see God move within sporting clubs and the culture to change. And that sat there long before I even knew that there was an organisation called Sports Chaplaincy Australia. And during that 10 years, other passions have come and gone, and I've felt very strongly about things, but this one never has. But I had to wait to step out, and in fact almost 2 years ago I thought I was ready to step out, and it wasn't the right time. I was impatient at the time. But when I knew the time was right, and that was really near the beginning of this year, it was still scary, but I knew the time was right, and I said that to Graham, and he said, "You're going to have to bungee jump through a cloud." And that is, if you believe that it's right, you can't actually now wait for everything to be in place. You have to step out, and you have to take a risk, and you have to trust God that he will make these things come together, because you're feeling so sure that it's the right time. So the bungee jumping through the cloud was actually quitting my job, and that was a fairly scary thing to do. Since then, every single door that I've knocked on has opened. Every day when I've had a setback in regard to this, on the very day I've had another confirmation come through that it's the right thing. So I know that God has been very involved in this. I know there's others of you, as I mentioned, who have a dream birthed by God, but the timing is not right. And as I said, sometimes we have to leave that seed dormant, knowing that it's still alive and that seasons change. I remember, in fact, it was probably about 10 years ago that I spoke to Graham also about where I was heading in the future. And he said, for the next 10 years, your job is to just make sure that Matt's okay and to journey with him. And I took that very seriously, and I'm thinking it's about time now that I let him kind of step out and start doing some of life without me right next door to him, and he's looking forward to that. So you sometimes have to wait on the timing. My dream is to see sports clubs changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that sport has the capacity to build character in its participants. It has a lot of very good things happening in sports clubs. But all too often, as we know, we also read in the newspapers about lack of maturity, lack of responsibility, larrikinism, which at its best can be harmless fun, but at its worst can be selfish and abusive. In the book of 2 Kings, we read about Elisha shortly after he's taken over the mantle of leadership from Elijah. He's feeling pretty inferior to Elijah. I can identify with Elisha. He's not that sure of himself, but he backs God to lead him as he steps out as God's chosen one in that particular role. And the scripture says this, it'll come up on the screen. The people of the city said to Elisha, "Look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Bring me a new bowl," he said, "and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring and he threw the salt into it, saying, "This is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained pure to this day, according to the word Elisha had spoken." I believe that we have an opportunity to bring healing to this land through the medium of sport. That might sound kind of weird. We have a chance to bring salt and light in a country that in many ways is the lucky country, but has been an unproductive country in many ways. It hasn't been the moral country or the caring country or the God-honouring country. And many church people would probably feel uncomfortable about entering into a sports club, especially a footy club. The culture of a footy club is a long way from the culture of a church. But it was clearly the kind of thing that Jesus called us to do, and where we will find much of that middle class brokenness that Alan Meyer spoke about so well in that parable last week of the Good Samaritan. So in 2014, I'll be working for Sports Chaplaincy Australia, and I've got a little quick video clip to show you that shows some of the work of Sports Chaplaincy Australia.
In fact, all AFL clubs now use the services of chaplains to help players deal with a myriad of life's issues.
The thing with a chaplain in a sports club for me is that you probably need to be the one person who knows the players intimately, knows the athletes intimately.
They operate behind the scenes of the AFL juggernaut. In a sport where expectation and pressure can reach bursting point, club chaplains are proving invaluable circuit breakers.
I guess we're a bunch of guys that if people want to talk to us, talk about life issues, talk about some of those pressures and stresses that take place, then we're there.
In the same way that there's a team psychologist and a team doctor and a coach, we like to see ourselves augmenting or supplementing that care for the player on the field with some off the field support.
No sooner does their Sunday service end and it's off to the match, where these men of the cloth become part of the gum-chewing, knuckle-clenching macho land that is professional football.
Someone once said it's ironic. Isn't it ironic that a man of God's dealing with demons? Well, where else would I be?
From grief counselling to advice on marriage, AFL's chaplains are always available for a quiet chat.
I believe that even within a tight organisation like the Lions, I don't know enough about players intimately to really have taken the friendship to an incredible level, which I think the chaplains can do.
The church has seen a need and an opportunity in modern times.
As Christians, we can actually share a different perspective with you, and perhaps that there is more involved than just the flesh and blood that we see, that we work with every day, that we pound into shape at the gym, and to introduce that spiritual aspect to their lives.
It was back, I think, in August of 2012 that I first shared on this, and I don't want to repeat too much of what I've shared other than to remind people that it's around about 7 to 8% of Australians that go to church around once a month or more, but around 70 to 80% of the community are involved with at least one member of their family being involved in a sporting club on a regular basis. So sporting clubs are often the places where people are forming their communities these days. Yet, as I shared last time, sporting clubs are not equipped to cope when things go wrong in people's lives. Today, the church has an opportunity like it's never had before. And it's not through staying in our churches and waiting for people to come out of the sporting clubs and to join our church, because they're not doing that. But it's by getting out of our churches and bringing a message of hope and grace and mercy into the places where people are finding community right now. And for me, that involves going into the sporting club. For some of you, it might be in the playgroup or the shopping centre or on social media or wherever you meet people outside of the church environment. But the really exciting thing for me about sporting clubs is that they're actually asking for chaplains. They're actually crying out for chaplains. We have some footy clubs who keep saying, when are you going to send us a chaplain? And I think that's very, very pivotal. That's why I say that twice. I really want that to sink in, because I can't remember another time in history when actually a culture that's so counter-cultural to the church is saying, we want something of what you've got, because we're not actually coping when it comes to dealing with the issues in people's lives. So this is an amazing and exciting opportunity, and I just hope as a church, and I pray that as a church, that we don't miss this opportunity, that we don't become complacent and think that it's just going to stay around or that somebody else will do it. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And that's what I'm going to be praying and asking that you will join with me in praying that we will find the chaplains for the footy clubs. You might wonder why I keep talking about footy clubs and not other sports clubs. Originally, Cam, who was on that video, who's the head of SCA, had a vision of an arrowhead and it was going into the footy clubs and the thermals were coming off those kind of blades and they were picking up the other sports too. The idea being that probably in Australia, AFL is the major sport that people are interested in, and if you can pick up footy and you can get, I guess, the culture that's probably the least similar to a church culture, then you'll pick up the other sports as well. So that's why, particularly in my role next year, I'm going to be focusing on football clubs. In fact, I'm going to be looking everywhere. I'm going to be turning over every stone, knocking on the door of every minister in this area, going into their churches, speaking to their congregations, looking under the seats if necessary to find chaplains to put into footy clubs next year. So watch out, because I could be knocking on your door. But I believe that that God has prepared me all of my life. I didn't realise it for this particular part of life, that every stage along the way, you don't understand at the time, but you look back and you realise there was a reason for the good times and the bad times. And this is, again, maybe ministering to some of other people here, where you couldn't understand why God was doing what he was doing or why things were happening as they were. But when you look back now, you realise that everything happened for a reason, and it was preparing, in my case, me for this particular last stage of my working life. I hope and expect that it'll be. It's God's timing, and it has to happen. Aussies need God. I know that the very spirit in a man that soars with sporting success also cries out in pain when life deals harsh blows. And I know that our God can reach into that wounded spirit and bring restoration. I believe there are many people in our churches whose hearts will surge with excitement when the prospect of taking something that they love, being their sport, and mixing it with the God and the faith that they have will excite them. They will go, "Wow, I always used to think that sport was kind of a separate part of my life to my faith, but the opportunity to combine them together, I think, will excite many people." Right, because I just jumped around in my notes then. This will be my third year, just starting my third year as a chaplain of the Eastern Rangers in the TAC Cup. The TAC Cup is the premier under 18 football competition in the country. It provides most of the players into the national draft. And I've got a few quick pictures of some of the things that go on down at Rangers. We'll just flick through them fairly quickly, Dave, a couple of seconds each. Just pause there. So that's... but that's a tense place in the rooms before a game, and that's the coach of the Eastern Rangers, Darren Buick, who many people will recognise from his Essendon days. And those boys hang on every word that he says, and if he gives them a spray, they feel very wounded. You can see the big... Or go back to that last one. You can see the big ruckman there in the right-hand corner. One day he was... I'll tell you a few stories in the time that I've got. He was trying very hard to follow the instructions that the coach had given him about where he should be on the field. Where you position yourself on the field is very important. And he was getting it wrong. And anyway, I was down on the bench, and the manager, he's called the talent and ID manager. He's basically the CEO. He was down on the bench as well, and he was telling that boy Dion in no uncertain terms where he should be on the field. And so Dion did what he could to be in the right place. But when he came into the rooms at half time, the coach Darren Buick just started tearing strips off him. "Where did I tell you to be?" And he'd only been following a second set of instructions, and I knew that. And he just embarrassed him terribly in front of everybody, and I could see the tears welling up in his eyes. He didn't say anything. But afterwards, when they went back onto the field, I said to Boris, he had received a second set of instructions, and that's he thought he was doing the right thing. And I was able to say to him after he'd had the spray, "Don't worry, I can sort this out with the coaches. I know what happened. And that's what a chaplain can do. Just get involved around in the background. And in the end, Boris actually apologised to him and things were made good. I'll tell you a few stories of some of the things a little bit further on. Let's go through some more of those slides here. Warming up. There's our boys. This is playing at Etihad Stadium just a few weeks ago, about 6 weeks ago, when they won the grand final by 112 points. Just had to get that in. That's Michael Apness having a shot for goal. He's just been drafted to Fremantle. Parents are a bit sad that they won't see him. He doesn't mind. The elation of sport. But look, just go back though. Now, just keep it there, keep it there. Yeah, that number two, that's Ben Kavara. He's the captain. He was the Morrish medalist, which means he was the best in the competition. He was best on ground in the grand final. Best and fairest this year and last year. That's him there getting tackled as well. Just hold it there. Didn't get drafted because he's 173 centimetres. Now, four boys got drafted and he didn't. He was close to the best player in the competition. Didn't get rookie drafted anyway. So that's when I get on the phone and give him a call and have a chat and offer to have a coffee, because he's devastated because his identity and every ounce of effort for the last few years has been given into being the best footballer that he could. Yeah, let's keep going through. Oh, now there's that little bloke, number 40. He's just a bit player, but... Nah, but he's next to that big giant boy, and there they are together. That's Tom Boyd, number one draft pick. Just hold it there, Dave. Wonderful fella, and drafted to Greater Western Sydney with the number one draft pick. You would have seen him on the telly and everything. He speaks really well. Actually a really humble, lovely, smart boy. And I sent him a text after he got drafted and I said, well done, and you handled yourself really well. And he wrote straight back and he said, thanks, Dave. You don't know how much help you've been. You are a good friend. And I went, oh, Tom Boyd thinks I'm a good friend. and I was really rapt. But actually, when he was playing in the national championships, some will know that he hurt his leg and he was very badly injured and he was really devastated. And everybody talks to him, but everybody talks to him about footy. So I'd go and talk to him and I'd say, let's talk about stuff that's got nothing to do with footy. And he liked that because everybody only ever wanted to talk to him about football. There's the chaplain just hanging around looking for something to do. yeah, we'll just go through these last ones. There we are, we're the premiers. And just celebrating, singing the song, carrying the balls. Okay, I didn't show that one just yet. All right, you can get rid of the slides now. A chaplain doesn't earn respect in a club straight away when he gets there. In fact, when you first get down there, nobody really knows what you're there for or who you are or even what a chaplain is. In fact, the boss at Eastern Rangers keeps trying to introduce me as something other than a chaplain. He keeps saying, and this is Dave, our trained psychologist. And I say, I'm not a trained psychologist. And he goes, yeah, close enough, close enough. When I first arrived, I tried to... just get to know names, and people didn't know me. They didn't know why I was there. But within the second year, I'd been given such a lot of grace. And so after training on a Thursday night, five of us would have a devotion. And then before the games, we would pray. Just this five of us would pray before the game. Well, I didn't know how they would take that. And one time I went to the bench, and I'll mention his name, Parker. He's the son of David Parker, and he's the guy that runs the Eastern Rangers. He's a very funny guy and very outspoken. And he came and he said, I want to have a word with you. I thought, oh, no, because it was after the first time that we prayed. He goes, I saw what you guys were doing. I came into the room to get my clipboard, and I've never been so freaked out in my whole life. Anyway, a few weeks later, he said to me, did you pray before this game? And I said, yes. He goes, good, I think it helps. next week, this weekend coming up next week, they've got a three-day training camp, and I'm going on that training camp, and they've given me half an hour, as they did last year, to speak into the lives of the boys as a group, where I'll speak about managing their lives, creating a personal reputation and brand, and protecting and building the reputation of the Eastern Rangers. They stand for some really good things, but when I speak to them, it will be all Christian principles. I'll even drop in the name of Jesus because I did it last year and I got away with it. and they don't mind. The longer you stay in a place, the more respect you earn. I dream to see this impact being replicated in sports clubs all over Australia. I long to see people like Tyler coming along to church. So Tyler is my friend. Stand up and give everybody a wave, Tyler. Tyler comes from the Eastern Rangers. I told you a little bit about Tyler the first time when I spoke, but a lot's happened since then. On that first night, the very first night that I was down at Rangers, Tyler came up and he goes, "So if we're training at a local club, we're supposed to be training here as well." And I said, "I don't know, ask one of your coaches, I'm the chaplain." And he goes, "Oh, do you know about anger?" And I said, "Yep." And he said, "Oh, can we talk about it?" So we went for a walk after training and we talked about anger. And I said to him, "Sometimes do you feel as though your spirit gets damaged?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "I felt like that too sometimes. When my spirit gets damaged, I talk to God. I find that's helpful." Anyway, we just talked about other things. And then some months later, and we talked a few times, Tyler said, "What church do you go to?" And I told him. He said, "I like it when you talk about that God stuff." I said, "You're welcome to come if you like." He goes, "Oh, okay." I said, "Would you like a Bible?" He said, "Yeah." So I gave him one of those little red Gideon's Bibles, which he read on the train. Then he came to training the next night. I said, "Have you been reading it?" He said, "Yep." He said, "That guy." I said, "What guy?" He says, "Love your enemies." I said, "Oh, Jesus." He goes, "Yeah, that guy." I like him. I like what he says. I said, "Yeah, me too." And Tyler's been growing ever since, and he comes and he doesn't get everything that we carry on about here, but he gets the vibe of what's going on. And then we talk in the car. You understand a fair bit now, don't you? Yeah. I asked him, did he want to come up on stage and say a few words? He said no. And last time I said, "Tyler, have you actually ever asked God into your heart?" And he goes, "Yeah, I have." I said, "That's fantastic." So, am I going okay with time? Oh, gee whiz, I've got about 10 pages to go. we might have to skip a few stories. Parko says to me one time, I said to my wife, he says, we're having coffee. I said to my wife, "I wouldn't mind going to church with Dave Burt." She goes, "What?" She goes, "Are you going to tell him?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, you're telling me." He goes, "Yeah, I know." I said, "If you ever want to go to church, I'd even come and pick you up." He said, "No, I'd drive my car so I can leave at half time." I didn't used to sit on the coach's bench. I didn't think it was my place. But one day he came up to me and he said, "I could have used you on the bench today." I said, "Why?" He says, "I need someone to stop me losing my temper at the umpires." I said, "Well, I'm happy to do that if you like." So I sat down on the bench near him and realised it wasn't an easy job actually to try and do that. But come the end of one game and he was really, really angry. And he started storming straight towards the umpires. And I knew he could get reported. He has been before. And I just said, tell me, Parker. Don't tell them, tell me." And he's telling me in no uncertain terms what he thinks about the umpires. And when we got there, I just said, just be calm. And he just looked at the umpires and he goes, "There will be a full and complete report on your performance today." And then I said, "Great, come on. And we went back to the rooms and we got back in and he goes, "I sort of thank you for that." So I see a lot of opportunities for chaplains and I could tell you lots more stories. The first thing I'll be doing is trying to place chaplains into the 48 clubs in the EFL. This is a football competition the size of Adelaide. It spans from Noble Park, Baldwin, Sylvan, Warrandyte, and they've actually put in $10,000 of their own money to get chaplains into their clubs. And they allow us to do the training in their offices, level one training. There's two levels of training. I'm going to now just ad lib and skip my notes because I can see I'm not going to get through everything. There's now two levels of training that you can do. One's a three-day training at Etihad Stadium, which I'm hoping to be able to deliver this year. I'll be studying hard so I can learn to deliver that. We've currently got two chaplains in. That was just during this year, one into Lilydale and one into East Doncaster. One of the other roles I will have and have already undertaken for the EFL is to be their crisis response chaplain. That is, when something goes wrong in a club and that club doesn't have a chaplain, that they'll give me a call. We just had a call, and I won't go into the details, but I'll be doing some stuff at the Coldstream Football Club where actually a boy died who was in the Eastern Rangers. I'll tell you just briefly. 2 years ago on that camp, we went for a walk on the beach. He said, "Can I go for a walk and a talk with you?" And he shared that he had a faith. And just last week he died from an asthma attack. I don't know that his family knew that he had a faith, but I'll be telling them. His two younger brothers come to our school. Just a beautiful boy. He was the captain at Lilydale Heights College. There were 300 boys sitting on the oval the other night at Coldstream in memory of him, and it's a devastating situation. But we can bring hope and faith and love into that situation, and we'll do that. This is why chaplains are so important. I had to do a response at the Ferntree Gully football team where there'd been a suicide. I didn't know what to do. I went in, everybody was standing around. I started talking to a few people, started talking about preparing meals and doing a few things. One of the guys said, "Hey, everybody needs to hear this." So he goes, "Everybody shut up and listen. We've got an expert in the room." which I wasn't, but I said a few things like that, and people started to open up and they started to talk and they started to say things like, if it was money, we would have given him money. If only we'd known. And we started a whole conversation about maybe just, you know, asking questions that go deeper than how you're going with sport and how you're going with life. And we can see football clubs start to do that. We're hoping to set up centre bounce teams. That's within churches where three or four people get together and they try to identify and place chaplains so that we replicate throughout the community. And once we have that happening, we'll see things really start to spread strategically. I've spoken to the head of the TAC Cup, a guy called Anton Grabak. He wants a chaplain in every TAC side. When Anthony Parkin was asked why they went from bottom to top in 1 year, he told a bit of a fib, because this is not true, but he said, we've got a new guy in charge of fitness and we've got a new guy in charge of their minds. And he was talking about having a chaplain. So the fact that we went from bottom to top wasn't because I was messing with their minds. It was because we had much better footballers on the track. But you know, God's grace opens doors, and they look at the Eastern Rangers and go, well, they won the premiership by 112 points, and the bottom line for them is what's going to help the performance of the footballers on the field. In fact, I said to Parko one time, if there's something I could do better, what would it be? And he said, how about you just mainly focus on the guys that are getting a game? He wasn't so interested in the guys that weren't getting a game, which I thought, I said, I'd try to focus on the guys that have the needs. I've got a whole lot of stuff in italics, which I said to myself I can leave out if I'm running out of time. And I am, aren't I, Graham? Yeah, I am. Three suicides in the EFL in 2012 that quite possibly could have been avoided if they had somebody to talk to. I'm just praying that the rumour of God will be kept alive in the hearts of people long enough that they might visit a church, they might speak to someone, they might even speak to God, and that perhaps when we get to heaven, we might see people from sporting clubs who will say, thank you that you introduced us to Jesus. I pray that there'll come a time when people like my son, when they join a football club, are not going to be taught how to drink and take advantage of women and set dwarves on fire, but in fact they'll be taught the qualities of a real man, like sacrifice and courage, honesty and trust. I believe there's a lot to build on already in football clubs. They already have a lot of qualities that are of sacrifice and commitment and other things. They just need to learn how to apply those into other areas of life, like their families and their work and so on. A couple of scriptures I just want to finish on. In John 21, Jesus says to Simon Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. And I don't think he was just referring to the church. I think he was referring to the whole wider community. 1 Peter 3:15 is a scripture that I've always loved. In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Be ready, wherever you are in your environment, to share. You don't have to have the title chaplain. It helps because people expect you to talk about God when you're called chaplain, but otherwise there's every opportunity to share. On my prayer cards, which I'm going to have over there, and anyone can take one who would like to have one, I'd love you to take one if you'd be happy to pray for me and for the work that's about to happen. That would be fantastic. It says, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And in a society with lopsided values, we can be presenting that message that, you know, you can not get drafted, you can lose most things, but actually you cannot be robbed of those things which are eternal. And Proverbs 16:9, in their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. That's what revealed to me. He planted the dream in my heart. He may have done the same for you many, many years ago, but actually when it's his timing, he reveals that, and then you see his perfect plan and you see the doors start to open and you realize that you would have been rushing at things before the time was right. And the last scripture is, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. I love this. See, I'm doing a new thing. I'm going to miss Oxley, but I'm not going to dwell on the past because I know he's called me to a new thing. It springs up like that little spring. It's just a bubble. Do you not perceive it? I'm going to be saying that in churches. Do you not perceive what's going on? Don't be complacent. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Imagine that little spring just bubbling up. Meditate on that verse and see it becoming a spring as people get involved. I think it's really exciting. Do you perceive it? Could you see yourself as a chaplain or forming a CBT or praying for those people or identifying someone when you meet them and go, you know what, you'd be a good chaplain. I've got a guy that you could talk to. I'd love you to do that as a community we keep this in our brains because it's the way that we can bring hope and love and faith into this community and perhaps one day see a revival in this country through the current religion of sport that lead people to the real living reality of a God and his good news for salvation. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that your timing is perfect, that you plant a seed and sometimes that seed has to die in the ground and then you bring it to life in your time and it is your perfect timing. And I just thank you for this timing in our culture at this moment in our society that we can have the opportunity to speak into the hearts of common people with big problems sometimes about you and to bring hope and faith and life. Father, we thank you for Tyler. We ask your blessing upon him. We thank you that you stirred in his heart and you led him to salvation and you continue to walk with him and to guide him through the challenges of life. I just want to lift up the family that I mentioned before and pray, Lord, that you would pour grace and mercy into their hearts and hope that one day they may see their son again in eternity. Father, I pray now for a working of your Holy Spirit within this community and assurance that you work in each one's life to bring about the best in your timing. And Father, that we might not be complacent but perceive what you are doing, this great work in the community, and do our bit in our way as you call us to contribute to the good news that we have in Jesus Christ and to share it freely with those who need to know you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I wanted Dave to finish early so I could wrap up and just share a little bit so that we could also pray for him. Now, one of the things, and this is a sales pitch and a pat on the back for LMC, one of the things I love about this church, one of the things I love about what Pastor Hal sowed into us and founded in this place some 50-something years ago, 56 years ago, believe it or not, was a love for the body of Christ. And I've been here now in church here for nearly 40 years and I have watched people come, people go. I have seen us pray out people many, many times into other ministries. I remember the day that we prayed out Alan Meyer from leaving our church to start or to go up to Care Force, Mount Evelyn Christian Fellowship as it was at that stage. And, you know, I thought, man, what an incredible thing that Pastor Hal would highlight one of our best ministers, one of our best communicators, and be prepared to send him out into the body of Christ to take over another church. And we know, of course, how successful CareForce has been and how successful Alan has been. And, you know, Pastor Hal did that when he started Oxy College, when we started creating our own curriculum, and he would give it to other schools. And this has been done right around the place many, many times. And I just see today and what we've been listening to, and I know it's been a different word, but it has been the word of God that you've heard. We're seeing a guy who came in 15 years ago. In fact, Dave applied for a deputy principal's position, and this was one of my first appointments when I took over the senior role. And I remember saying to our elders, to Sally at the time, no, he's not the man for a deputy principal, but man, he would be a fantastic chaplain. And you're a fraud. and he has been and is a fantastic chaplain. And I know that we have had a part to play in just training, equipping, releasing, revealing, allowing him to discover the gift that God has got for him. And I know that in a way we're letting him go, as it were, to impact a greater part of God's harvest, as it is, and in a totally different way. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think Dave could do what he's doing now if it hadn't been for his 15 years of training here and equipping here. And so hence the need for us to remember that we still play a part in Dave and Meron's life. We still cover them, pray for them. They're still a part of our church. It is part of the deal. Next year, we have chosen a theme for next year, being a follower, not just a fan. And the whole concept of what we hope to get across next year is a greater sense of commitment, a greater sense of desire to follow and to serve God. And, you know, that's what Dave has been talking about this morning. It's listening to God, being prepared to lay down your life and to take on a greater challenge. You know, I look at Kids Hope when it first came in. One child, one person, 1 hour a week at one school. And I don't think you guys would really understand the impact that Kids Hope, that Pete and Kim have had, both in Croydon North when we were there and now at Chirnside Park. Unfortunately, we don't have time to tell you all the stories, all the things that God does through this place into our community. We are so heavily involved in the community behind the scenes that it's impossible to share. And I just see that what Dave is doing is a part, again, of us seeing God move into our community. That star, what really impacted me about that star was knowing that it was the star that led the wise men. It was the star that the shepherds saw. And we have to be a light in darkness. We have to be a representative of God in darkness. And that's what Dave's doing. You know, it might be preaching the word in a different way, but again, I hearken back to Pastor Hal long years ago when we were doing one of our evangelism programs at the time. It was called Kingdom Selling, and it was just basically living your life. You know, it'd be the scripture that we used a number of years ago. People liked what they saw, and God added to his church. So I know that what Dave is doing is brilliant. I know from a friend of mine, Jim Gwynn, over in America, just the power of being a chaplain. He was chaplain to the police force. And he just would share time after time after time the opportunity he had of just being there at the right place at the right time to show love. And sometimes they never were fruit that we could see. But he said there was always an opportunity to show the love of Christ. And so I know that Dave has that opportunity, will have that opportunity. For those of you who are at Oxley, it's a real joy to announce that Matt Daly is going to be the chaplain of Oxley College, following on from Dave and following on from the foundations that Dave has laid. Matt is just a fantastic young man. We know as elders that he has an incredible gift, an incredible passion. He will minister in a different way to what Dave has done, but on the same token, he'll carry the same passion and hunger for children to grow up to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Matt, we congratulate you on your position. So this morning, I'd like us to pray for Dave. And, you know, we know that Amari is our number one focus on the mission field, and we don't want anyone to stop supporting Murray. But on the same token, if God has put Dave on your heart, then we would encourage you to follow that leading. And Dave will be over there, and in that little sheet that we put in your notice sheet, which is just a photocopy of the cards that he had produced, you can support him both in prayer, you can support him in a one-off gift, you can support him regularly in finance. Part of Dave's commitment to doing what he's doing is he's dropped over 50% in his salary, and he's trusting and relying on God, and that's the bungee jump. And so if you feel you wish to support him in any way, then you can do that. So, Dave, why don't you stand? Why don't you come up here? Maren, why don't you come as well? I'm sorry to embarrass you. And can I have pastors and elders just come up? Chris Blacker as well. Let's just pray for Dave. Let's send him out. And let's just see God move in a mighty way in his life. Father, I just thank you for Dave. I thank you for Maren. I thank you for the way they've given themselves to you in serving our community, in serving as representatives of this church in the school. But Lord God, I thank you for just the way they've grown in you. I thank you for the depth of your word. I thank you, Lord God, for the confidence. I remember when Dave first prayed and he had to write it out, and he said, "How do you do this out of your head?" And Lord God, I just know that he's grown in confidence, in trusting in, relying on, leaning on the Holy Spirit to guide and to lead him. And Father, I know that this step that they're taking now is not a light step. It's not an emotional step. Father, it's a step in your timing. It's a call, Lord God, that you have called him to. And Father, they don't go as just Dave. They go as a family. I thank you for the children, Caitlin, for Steph, Matt, Lord God, and just again the commitment that they've made and the sacrifice that they will make. And Lord God, we know that Dave has a passion for sport. We know he has a passion for football. And we know that in a way this could be seen as you just giving him the desires of his heart. But Lord God, that passion has come from you. And that passion has come that he might be able to identify and understand what's going on. And Lord, so I just pray that you would continue to hone his gift. You continue to hone him as he speaks. And that, Father, he would speak and continue to speak your life. Lord God, it would not be out of even a desire to see chaplains, Lord God, because that's just KPIs, that's just getting numbers. But, Father, that his desire, his passion would be solely just to see you influence people's lives, to see your name being lifted high. That, Lord God, he might never see the fruit of what he's done. But Lord God, just as much as Mr. Eternity in Sydney is talked about all the time now, yet at the time he's alive, Lord God, people wouldn't have even recognized him. Lord, that the seed that is sown will continue to germinate. And Lord, that there would be others that would come and water and others that would come and harvest. But Lord, it would be coming from this man and the call upon his life. So we give you thanks. And Father, we overshadow him. We recognize our responsibility to pray for him, to support him wherever you put upon our heart. But Lord, to continue to see him grow in you. So touch him by your Spirit. Protect him, Lord God, just as much as he's out to protect others. And Lord, we just give you thanks for the gift that he's been to us and the gift now that he's being to others. And we send him forth with incredible joy and knowing that you're going to use him to further your kingdom. So, Lord, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys.